Hello, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 30. Okay, the book of Psalm chapter 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, I was dismayed. To thee, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise thee? Will it declare thy faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. Amen. Psalm 30 is yet another reminder of how incredible David is. And just that whole idea of a man after God's own heart. And I think this psalm really does a great job in explaining what that's like. So the occasion of this psalm, it's the praise of dramatic deliverance. It's in my Bible, it says a song at the dedication of the house, a psalm of David. And so this was a psalm that was sung, the song that was sung when his palace was erected and opened, and there was a celebration for this. And so, but you'll notice that in this psalm, David doesn't say, "Man, have I arrived?" You know, he didn't say, "Man, I'm so great." He didn't say, "Man, look what I've done. Look at all these amazing things. Look at this beautiful building. Look at all this. And, you know, look at my splendor, my kingdom." He didn't say any of those things. What he did is he looked back and he saw the faithfulness of God watching over him every step of the way in the midst of every single trial. No matter what David went through, he always looked back, and even though, and this is the heart of this passage, of this psalm, even though with this beautiful, and you know the description, the palace was amazing, the house of David. And so, and he says, well, in a way, he didn't say this here, but I'll this is my own words, okay? You see this beautiful palace, You see all these wonderful things. You see how secure my kingdom is. You see how great things are going. And he says, you know, it could seem like really good, and it seems so secure now. But what David is what he's singing about is, but you don't have any, you have no idea the nights that I almost died. You have no idea when I was pressed around by my enemies. You have no idea how faithful God has been throughout the journey of my life. And I am here in this place, opening up this home and the splendor and the majesty and all these things. And I know that you will, you know, praise David. And David is saying, no, I want you to sing praises to the Lord. Because it's like his inner testimony, his personal testimony. Yes, everything seems secure. But man, there was just a few weeks ago where everything was very insecure. I thought I was going to die. I thought my kingdom would be taken away from me. I thought my enemies would triumph over me. But God was so faithful. Right? This is why David is a man after God's own heart. Even in the midst of his success, you know, and you know, when a guy goes through so much and then he gets to this place of success, he doesn't pat himself on the back. He sings praises to the Lord. He's a man after God's own heart. He remembers where he comes from. It's praise to God, not praise to his accomplishments. You know, and that's a really, really difficult thing to do, isn't it? I mean, if we're really, really honest, it's when times are good, it's so easy for us to say, "Yeah, man, that was good." You know what I mean? It's like, even, you know, like as a pastor, and you know, we preach a great message, And it seems like there's a great response, and, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and it's so easy to, you know, Sunday, the rest of the day, just kind of sit back, you know, and just relax and say, man, I did a good job today. This was awesome. And I mean, of course, you could rejoice in those things, but don't forget it was the Lord. It was God. And even all those good sermons or whatever the case may be, you know, there were other times that, you know, that sermon would have never even happened. You know, like even on Sunday, that would have never even happened unless God had touched my heart with my own dad. You know, it all belongs to the Lord, right? There is none righteous, not even one. No one does good. No one seeks after God. And you see the heart of David as he lays out. So he says, so when his palace is finished, what does he say? He says, I will extol, I will lift up the Lord, right? For he is the one who lifted me up. And so it wasn't David saying, it wasn't my accomplishment. This was God's accomplishment. And he has not let my enemies rejoice over me. I am standing here in this place right now in security because God has rescued me from my enemies. And he says, and this is his testimony, O Lord my God, I cried to thee for help, and you came and you healed me. This is my testimony. This is what this house represents. It's the faithfulness of God in his way. Lord, you have brought me out, brought up my soul out of Sheol, out of the netherworld, out of hell, and you've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Lord, you saved and rescued me. So Lord, this palace, this building, all these things, this structure is not about me. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you. And then in verse 4, I love this. It's as if David said, you know what? My worship, like you are so much bigger and greater than what I can worship you with. And so I got to recruit others to do it. So, hey, everyone, all the peoples, right? Let's all gather. Let's all worship the Lord. You know, it's like my singular worship is not worthy enough, even though it is. I mean, it's beautiful, right? A personal worship. He says, but God is so big. He's so grand. He's so amazing. He's so dynamic that let's all worship the Lord. Let's all sing praises to God. I don't want to just do it by myself in this way. And let's all sing praises. Because you are also part of this testimony. And let's give thanks to his holy name. And then verse 5, we see this little shift. For his anger is but for a moment. Remember, there's a lot of songs that we sing out of this passage. His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. And we have to remember that. Sometimes we feel like it's the opposite. When we're in this difficult time, in this difficult place, we feel like, oh my goodness, this is going to last forever. When is this going to end? And it says it's momentary. It's just a short thing. Momentary anger, favor of lifetime. I'll tell you how the New Testament describes it. The New Testament describes it in a little different way. And you can think of it this way, particularly the Hebrews passage and some other ones. It's the correction of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord, but then his grace abides forever. It's momentary, light affliction, but the glory abides forever. And so we have to think of that. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And so his heart is always grace. His heart is forgiveness. His heart is love. But sometimes we know to bring us to that place where we can receive that and understand that, God needs to correct us. God needs to do a course change in us, and that's his discipline. I don't want you to get, because I know in our times words mean different things, but I just want you to get that idea. In the Old Testament, they just refer to that as God's anger. It's not his wrath, it's his anger. And so this is part of it, but in the New Testament, we refer to that as his discipline or his correction. If that's helpful for us to understand the differences are laid out. And you know what? And it is important for us to understand the differences between the Old and New Testaments as well, you know, I should say. I'm going to talk about a little bit more as we go on. And he says here, and weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. See, that's what happens. It's just a short time. It's just a night. But when morning comes, joy. This is the favor that we talk about, or the glory, or the grace that happens. And then, so he goes in verse 6, and he says, "Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved." I found this great quote by Charles Spurgeon, and this is what he says. He says, "We are never in greater danger than in the sunshine of prosperity." He says, "We're never in greater danger than in the sunshine of prosperity." And that's what David is saying. He says, you know, when I was in my prosperity, I said, nothing's going to move me. Like, I'm good. And Spurgeon says, you got to be careful in those moments. Does it remind us of a scripture? It says, "He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." And so it's in that moment of prosperity when everything is going well, that's when we need to be very, very careful. Because, you know, that's a reality. When things are going well, what happens to us? We become very self-sufficient. And we no longer lean upon God or turn to Him or depend on Him. We depend on ourselves. And that's why it's, man, you know, I don't need to cry out to God. I don't need, because everything is going really well. And in the moment things turn pear-shaped, what happens? We start crying out to God again. Isn't that kind of human nature, unfortunately, in that way? And so this is what happens to him. And he says that this is different. And then in verse 7, it says, "O Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." You know, the city of David is on the hills of Jerusalem. He's probably pointing to that, you know, as he's singing this song, or they're there in that place. "And Lord, thou didst hide thy face. I was dismayed. To thee, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication." Now, verse 9 may sound a little bit off, okay, but I'll explain to you. "What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? And will the dust praise thee? Will it declare thy faithfulness?" And it seems like, well, where did that come from? Well, again, this is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You have to understand, in the Old Testament, the idea of the afterlife was not very well thought out. There wasn't really a lot of information, per se. And so it was very mysterious, and they didn't know. And so reality is, if you read a lot of Old Testament writings, they're very fearful of death in a certain way. I mean, you every once in a while, you have that great statement, you know, of Job, you know, "As for me, my Redeemer lives," and these things. But overall, the idea in the Old Testament of the afterlife is very vague. And you have that, but that's the thing. So then we have to understand the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament. And we see, I'll just give you a verse to help you. 2 Timothy 1:10. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. In 2 Timothy 1:10, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." In other words, what Paul is saying to his son, he says, even though it was vague in history's past, when Jesus Christ appeared, he revealed to us what immortality is going to look like. He revealed to us what heaven is. He made a revelation, and through Christ and through the gospel, we can finally have an understanding of the afterlife in this way. And I think it's a great explanation on this. And so in a really good way, right? So if you follow this thought, and so what did the psalmist, what did they cry out to? They just cried out for his mercy. It was so vague, so you constantly just cried out for his mercy, which is a really good thing for us in the New Testament realm to do as well, right? We need to cry out for his mercy as well, even though we have a better picture of his afterlife and all these different things. And then we continue on, right? That's verse 10, by the way. Right? "Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. Lord, O Lord, be thou my helper. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me in this way." And then, and of course, the psalmist, right, continues triumphantly. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing." And this is the Old Testament, but New Testament as well, of double repetition, which means it's really important, right? And so that was turned for me, my mourning into dancing. That was loosened my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. So, what was the end game for David? What was it? Was the end game for David, was it so that God could build him a palace? That he could be prosperous? No. The end game for David was so that he could worship him. That he could sing powerful praises to God and not be silent. So he could usher words of grace to the Lord. Right? That's what his heart is. He just wanted to worship God. The end for David was not the palace. The palace was just a sign, a small token of God's goodness, but and the testimony of his faithfulness. But man, it was so much more than that. I remember when my daughter was born, you know, Elise, the first one. And of course, you know, we all get very overjoyed, you know, in these things. But more than just her being, you know, my daughter and all these things, it was a testimony of God's faithfulness. You know, I remember, you know, in my single life, wondering, am I ever going to get married? Will I ever find somebody that will love me? And then will we ever bear children? You know, all these things. And so then when my daughter comes, it's, you know, like think David, it's that palace. I mean, not that, you know, our kids are palaces, or actually they're more than palaces, but it's just a sign of the faithfulness and the testimony of God. And so, and David, what does he do? What's his, he just worships the Lord. He sings praise to the Lord. So I'm going to ask Matthew to go up, and how fitting that we get to worship God right now. Just think about the Psalm of David and think about our own journey and our own life and how God has led us. And can I invite us to sing praise to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And even when it's tough and our enemies surround us, and that God is going to be faithful to us. And we just need to keep practicing, praising God. And then especially in the most difficult, praising God when things are not going well. Remember, we talked about this, right? That's called faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so let's worship the Lord. Let's make that our end game. The praise of our faithful, faithful Father.
Somewhere. no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you, oh Lord, and I will not be shaken. And I will put my trust in you, oh Lord.
Let that continue to be the anthem of our heart, that He is worthy. He is worthy to receive our praise. He is worthy because He's seen you through the most difficult times of your life. He's seen you in your highs and your lows. He is worthy of our praise. And let's tell everyone around us how worthy He is. If you want to this morning, let's just remember a time in our life where God came through for us. And just an overflow of that, just praise Him. Just praise Him in your own words. Praise Him in your prayers. Praise Him in your song. And let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with cancer and going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray that praise would be lifted up before each one of them. Let's lift up. Pray over those that are sick but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those that are dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray over our Hong Kong. Let's lift up our government. Let's pray for righteous rule and decision. Let's pray over the wealth gap over our city. Let's pray for revival. And let's lift up the churches all around. Let's pray for sports services. Let's pray for Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice. Let's pray for the Korean church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's cover our staff. Let's ask for the grace of God. Pray for strength. Pray for the wisdom of the Lord to move upon us as we lead and minister to our people. Hospitality ministries are welcoming and our barista. Let's pray for God to continue to use them. I know there's not a lot of activity with barista, but for the welcoming, let's just pray that they would really create this incredible atmosphere to welcome our friends and our guests to our church. Let's cover our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Let's pray that this house would just offer up such sweet, sweet worship to the Lord. And that all of our equipment, our sound, all the engineering would really enhance that worship and not take away from it. Let's lift up. Most importantly, let's continue to lift up our ladies that are pregnant. Let's pray for God to continue to protect the baby, Pray particularly for Viv, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Mon, Eling, Jade, and others. Let's just really pray for God's hand. Pray for healing. Just pray for the doctors and their surgeries coming up and all kinds of things. And let's just pray for the grace of God over our moms, dads, families. Just lift up right now over the babies. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for Psalm 30. Thank you for David's heart, God. And even in the time, God, where there could be celebration of great accomplishment, Lord, God, David saw fit, Lord, to honor and glorify you, to lift you up, Lord, to not take any credit for himself, but to remember where he has come from. Lord, we pray that we would have that same heart, God, that our beginning and our end would be worship, praise, thanksgiving. Help us as a church, God, to practice this all the time, Lord. To sing, God, Lord, with all of our hearts. God, we thank you. Watch over us today. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us this day and help us to glorify your Son, Jesus, in all that we do and say. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.